Hello, friends. Lee Brown here. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today we have Monica Strand, who is a ballerina slash coffee shop owner turned into a realtor and is now an amazing children's book author, because who ever knows where the path's going to take you. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Hello.
Hey, Monica. How are you?
I'm so excited to meet you. I have to tell you, I did the Realtor Summit, and I just love you.
Oh, yay.
Well, I did. Nice you too. Oh, I'm just super excited to do this with you today. So thank you for having me on. This is great.
Your book behind you, is that all your copies on the shelf?
Yeah, I have books in my office. This is my studio in my backyard. And then I work at Compass, but I love to have my creative space in my backyard. And I hope to get the book out through all of the other Amazon and all that stuff. But for now, I literally ordered the first 1,000 copies and they're all here at my house and I'm just selling them away. And it's been just such a fun journey. So.
And don't worry, friends, all the links will be at the end of the show. But what's the pink thing behind you that you made out of PVC? Is that a workout contraption or what?
Oh, that's my ballet bar. I take bar method classes. I used to be a ballerina way back and when. I've done a lot of things. We're not recording it, are we?
We totally are, because the conversation is the best part. So you used to do ballet?
Oh, I was a ballet. I started ballet in about eighth grade. And then I taught ballet to little kids, adults, Stanford basketball and football players one year. Their coach said, go get bendy and stretchy so you don't hurt yourself on the field. Yeah. And then I opened a dance clothing store when I was 19 and did that for a few years and really learned a lot about customer service. And then from there, I got married, moved, opened a coffee house with my husband and learned everything about being, it was sort of like Cheers, that show Cheers, but without liquor. And I just learned so much about compassion and listening to everybody's stories. And I always tell this story. We served everything from homeless to famous people. It was really, really an amazing time. And then after the earthquake hit, we moved back to the Bay Area where babysitting was free. We had four grandparents. Yeah. We had a baby down in the LA area, and then we moved back to the Bay Area. And actually, we ran that company for 17 years, and that was a national fundraising company. And after our kids grew up, I wanted to jump into real estate. It was something I had thought about, gosh, when I was right out of high school and didn't do it because I was so into my ballet training and all that, but I knew I loved business. And then my husband works in the movie industry. So he does a lot of back and forth. He's working on a show called Abbott Elementary right now. And I'm in real estate and I love it. It's a crazy, crazy world. So the title of your podcast, it's real.
I mean, it is like HGTV. I look at it and I'm like, y'all don't have the faintest idea how this stuff really works. But you know, crazy. When you talk about homeless to famous in that coffee shop, I mean, that's real estate too, because we have the opportunity to work with everybody, which is sometimes great. And sometimes you're like,
Yeah. And right now, honestly, I've been getting a lot of people who can't afford a lot. And it's a crazy time right now. So
you can send them to North Carolina. I can help them something and we'll get a referral fee. It'll all be good.
Cool. I don't have a good referral network partner there yet.
And I'm president-elect for the state. Girl, I got somebody in all of our 100 counties.
That's fabulous.
When you start talking about dance, so I have the rabbit trail on this for a second. So I was in the city for an event for, I wish I could remember. It was another lady leadership real estate thing. Mm-hmm. And this was on April 1st. And my Lyft driver had moved to Kansas City from Oakland, California.
That's pretty close to me.
He was a professional dancer or danseur, right?
Oh, okay.
So you don't meet many male danseurs because it's just not a thing. And he's African-American. And so he's talking about the lack of representation in the dance space, especially in the classical dance, much less the, you know, so you think you can dance brought us a lot of exposure to different styles of dance, but
sure.
Ballet is so technical and like being on point is
it's
the hardest athletic things you could ever do. The bloody toes and
I had it all. I mean, I did it until I was in my 20s, and I did tour one time with Santa Clara Ballet, and we did the West Coast all the way up to British Columbia. And I was actually in high school. I took a week off. We did Nutcracker, but we were everything. We were the dancers and the stage hands, and we were eating at Denny's at 11 at night. And I lost a bunch of weight in a 2-week period. And I came home and I thought, I love ballet, but I don't like being on the road. I really learned at an early age, I love this, but I don't want to do that as a career. So teaching ballet ended up being what I really had the passion for. So I did it for quite some time.
I should totally connect you to him, because we were so bonded in that lift. Like, I have his cell phone number and all of this stuff. He's looking to do some nonprofit work and to help bring more people into exposure with dance. And, you know, he's teaching and he's doing Nutcracker and everything else. And anyway.
I'd love to connect with him. Yeah.
And then I have to ask you my tacky question about ballet, because I couldn't ask Omar this because he's a man. Did you read the V.C. Andrews books as a kid, Flowers in the Attic?
I didn't.
Are you serious? All right. So the TV movies were terrible. The books are pretty trashy too. So if you're watching or listening to this and you have teenagers, they shouldn't read it. And I just totally went mascara into my eyes. That's why I'm sitting
here. Oh, no.
But anyway, so one of the protagonists in the book, her name's Kathy. She's a ballerina. And in book number two, she becomes a professional ballerina. Mm-hmm. And there's all these ballet things in there. And so anyway, you have to read it when you need to read some brain candy or some smut.
Yeah, no, that's also fun. That sounds like fun.
And there are four books in the series. There was Flowers in the Attic, Petals on the Wind. I don't remember the other. There's another one. I read these.
When I was younger, I would fall asleep reading because I was so tired, because I went to school and I was taking hard classes in high school, trying to keep my grades up. And then I had an after school job at City Hall. That was my very first job working in the finance. I was the girl Friday in the finance department.
City Hall
in the town I was grown up, you know, San Carlos on the peninsula in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it was 2 blocks away from my parents' house. So I could go to school, go to work, go home. And the ballet school was on the same block as my parents' house. So everything was just within walking distance. And I danced a lot. I was dancing once a week when I started. And then I started that part-time job because I wanted to dance more and I didn't want to ask my dad to pay for it. And then ultimately what happened was my dance teacher said, can you be the demonstrator? And then you get as many dance classes as you want for free. So I started dancing like 5 days a week. I'm sorry about your mascara. Oh no, get it out.
I'm going to take that contact out and go one eye in our episode here, because that's how we roll. You know, real estate, what do?
Going. You pivot. You do whatever you got to do.
I'm a one-eyed realtor today. Call me Sandy Davis Jr. Here we go. All right.
We can both go. I love it.
So your first job was in town hall. Okay, so did that inspire you to become civic minded? Are you a more thoughtful voter? Yeah. Do you still go to town meetings because of that? I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, actually things like, about a year. Well, right before the pandemic, we were having an open house sign party, not party, problem actually, where people were putting their signs in dangerous spaces. I don't know how the streets are where you are, but in the middle median is not the place you put your open house sign here in California, where someone with a bike or a stroller or handicap wheelchair can't maneuver around. And we have some, unfortunately, agents who don't play by the rules, or they don't know the rules. Hello. I know you're very civic minded. Town meetings and we would be fighting ordinances to crack down harder on the agents, to maybe fine them, take their signs away so that they have to, you know, put them in sign jail. I hate all those kind of topics, but they're important, because I think someone might have gotten hit by a car at one point because of a real estate sign. And I thought, you know, I got into this business to help people. And when I hear about negativity,
right,
things like that, and honestly, also being treated like used car salesmen, sometimes people just don't understand what our careers are. And I've been such a business-minded person since I was 15. And I jumped in because I want to make a difference and I want to help. And
well, sometimes, and are we treated poorly and treated like used car salesmen because we're not paying attention to the unintended consequences of failing to follow a simple rule about open house signs, right?
Yeah.
So many realtors forget that they're all interconnected.
Yeah.
You knew what you were thinking about because coming from an entrepreneur's background, when you run a coffee shop, if you're yelling at one customer, somebody else is going to hear, they're going to leave. And so you see the unintended consequences. A lot of realtors don't because they think it's just this one time. It's this one arrow, forgetting that if somebody gets hurt, the public then says, all y'all realtors don't know how to behave. And I think that's what drives me the craziest. And I love that you're giving people space for not knowing the rules, but there's also got to be a modicum of common sense for people.
Yes.
Put things in a place where it's not inhibitor to anybody's life or movement, or don't look like an idiot. I mean, signs in the wrong place make it look like you're the moron who put it there.
Oh, I know. And I hate it. Another civic topic that came up just last week was a fun one. I live in Newark, which is a tinier city wrapped around Fremont, where I do a lot of my real estate business. And we just opened up a brand new police department, library, and civic center. And I have been waiting for that library for 28 years. My oldest daughter is 28 and just gave me my first grandchild, by the way.
Oh, so I'm a new grandmama.
But anyway, I almost started crying at this event because the previous mayor, he was mayor for 34 years in our town, and now he's retired from that. But he got to give a speech and they named the Civic Center after him. And he used to sit next to my husband in the Newark Symphonic Winds, which was a music group. My husband played trombone next to him. And it was just, I have to give him a big shout out. Yowza, Dave Smith, you're awesome. Because can you imagine having a building dedicated to you? That's civic duty. And I feel like all the small things I do in town don't even come close to seeing he's like a role model for civic duty to me. It's cool to have someone in town that inspirational. So
I mean, like the way it's supposed to be done, that an elected official is a servant leader and not just an elitist trying to make a buck off of people they serve. But you know what? Dave might be the right name. Do you remember that movie, Dave?
I loved it.
He had a stroke and Dave was like, well, I think this little pencil.
Oh, I'm a big movie buff. My husband works in the movie industry. He's worked on a lot of things. He's worked with a lot of famous people, and I don't need to drop names, but it's, yeah, I've been to a few rap parties and it's a cool industry, but another crazy industry. That's for a whole nother podcast.
I know, right? And actually, I could bring in some Wilmington, North Carolina agents for that, because Wilmington used to be a huge movie hub until the tax credits got messed around with, and that business all moved to Georgia. So, you know, Georgia is actually the movie capital now.
Well, my husband flew out to Georgia a few years ago and worked out there. And way back when we were still in our 20s and had our first kid.
Oh, last year, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We did come out to Florida over by Disney MGM, and we did, I'll name drop one person. He did that job for Tom Hanks. It was From the Earth to the Moon way back when. It was a big HBO series. But I was pregnant with our second kid, and it seemed like every other female on that show was pregnant. Something was in the water in Florida. I don't know.
But you know, when you're pregnant, all you see are pregnant people. When you're shopping for a Toyota Corolla, all you see are Toyota Corollas. Yes. By the way, that's why we always tell realtors you have to prospect, because if you're telling people you're in real estate, now they're thinking real estate and they start to see opportunities for you. But if you keep your mouth shut, it's kind of impossible. Like, you have an independent coffee shop. People hear coffee, they think Starbucks now. I don't want to go to Starbucks. I'd like to go to Allegiance Coffee, which is my little shop nearby. And look at their cute little I even get part of this for them.
Yeah.
Like superheroes. Well, if they don't remind me that they're there, I'm going to fall into the trap. It all adds up, right?
I love that. I love all the mom and pop coffee shops. They make such awesome coffee and they work so hard to
do community-minded.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's absolutely true. Hey, y'all, just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. It's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day.
And that's why I created Lee Brown University. Each of you has different goals. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. So tell me a little bit about, how did you land in real estate, obviously? So why real estate of all the careers you could have landed in from quite a varied background? Why real estate? Besides the fact that houses look pretty and people seem nice.
Actually, yeah, it wasn't so much the houses look pretty mentality, which I know a lot of people fall into that trap and jump into real estate. I wanted to run my own business. I knew that if I jumped into real estate, there's a possibility I could do it partly my way, but learn from others and really collaborate with different people in the industry. And I jumped in, and after 5 weeks in, I was already getting into contract, and I knew, okay, there's something here for me that I can help others and make connections with people. And I think my vast background kind of taught me all about how to connect, how to listen to people's stories and what they need. And it kind of matched. And my husband was jumping back into the movie TV industry, and our kids were older. So we decided to sell our fundraising company, and we just kind of wanted a different thing. We had done that for so long. You know how you sometimes do something for so long, you need to change, pivot. And that's what I did. And so I've only been in for 5 years. So I still think of myself as a newbie, honestly. I look at people who've been in
early career, not a newbie, because you've got vast experience with your early career.
Yeah. But I'm now marrying that with my real creative brain side with the book that I wrote to help real estate agents. So now not only am I helping my clients, I am spending half my time helping real estate agents. And it's very, very rewarding. I'm at the very beginning stage of it, but I love it. I love helping a lot of people. So that's why I'm here.
Right? The whole adage of the more you give, the more you receive. And it's true. It's not even made up. But before you tell us about that book and what you're doing, I want to hear your story. You know, we like to tell stories on the podcast. And so in those 5 years of doing real estate, what's that one scenario that you still can't believe it actually happened?
Oh, you'll love this one. I have two. And the first one's really short, so I'll tell it because it's funny. I was a new agent and I was showing a property to a young couple. And their one caveat was nobody could have died in the house. We don't want that house. You hear that a lot. So we go tour this home and it's perfect. I mean, everything felt great. And as we go upstairs, the last room we're going to tour is the master bedroom. And we look out the window and what is out there? A graveyard.
A graveyard or adjacent?
Yeah, out from the backyard. All you see is a graveyard. I look at them like horrified eyes and they look at me and we all just start laughing. And I'm just like, I guess we're not buying this house. And we all just started laughing. And of course we left and we ended up finding something in town, but down the street. When I looked at the map, I just didn't realize that you'd be able to see that so visible. I knew it was there, but not right there.
That's the reason. So I'm not a fan of the virtual showing. I know that it looks convenient, but this is a classic story, right? So you look at it on Google Maps, you can even walk in the front door and it doesn't feel like it's there. You go up to the second floor of a lot of houses and look out the back bed.
That's exactly what it was. And we just all looked at each other and thank goodness they started laughing because they were new clients that I had met at a recent open house. So I didn't know their personalities well enough to know, are we going to start laughing or are they going to look at me like I'm crazy? And I said, well, no one died in the house, but looking at that every morning. But my recent crazy story is during this pandemic with the Omicron variant, the first weekend in January, I was doing an open house and I knew it was going to be busy because so many buyers in California have been waiting, and they're finally coming out. And right after New Year's, they were so ready. And as I'm going to set up the open house, putting out my signs, there are no other open houses around. The inventory was so tight. I knew mine is the only one around town. So I get there. There's already three other agents inside with their clients showing the house. And I was like, hey, I'm the one with the open house today. I need the key back. I'm trying to set up and I'm getting bombarded a half hour before the open house with people already coming in. And I was like, okay, we all need to go outside. There's too many people in here. And I need everyone to wear masks. And there was little babies with no masks. So we literally had to have the line go out the sidewalk. I had over 600 people come through.
600?
600 in the 2 days. So at least 300. And I might be off a little bit, like on the low side. It was like a ride at Disneyland. And I said, okay, I was like the tour guide keeping them at bay and telling them which way to go through the house with the doors open to the backyard. Luckily, there was three ways to the backyard through the laundry, family room, and the master bedroom. So I just had to tell people, please stay socially distanced. We've got babies coming through with no masks. I'm trying to be safe for everybody. I'm usually not one to make everybody give me their email, but I said this weekend, I'm insisting on an email. So if anyone tells me they got sick, I will let all of you know.
Right.
And everybody was so grateful. It was really, really incredible. But I was like a flight attendant. When you go in the house, there are three main exits. And then I was playing 20 questions to the crowd. I was like, all right, what do you think, you know, questions about the house, the town, whatever, to keep them engaged. Nobody left. And here's the big sticker. Okay, this wasn't my listing. I was doing it for another agent. Sure. And I did not get the winning offer on this home. But because of all the activity outside and what everybody saw, that house sold for $450,000 over asking, way higher than I thought it should have. It wasn't even remodeled. It was original owners in there for over 50 years. Original kitchen, nothing. It was maybe refreshed and lightly refreshed. It was not remodeled. I was shocked. People wanted the house so bad because of the schools, and there's just no inventory. Inventory is starting to lighten up, and now we're seeing more coming again, but I don't know how it is where you are, but it is. It's crazy here.
Well, it's the same all over the country, except for some very few exceptions, but it's disheartening, really, when you see the numbers get so wild. You know, you feel in your heart like this feels really high, but that's what they have to do to win it.
Yeah.
And they're going to get great interest rates and they're going to live there for several years. But oh my gosh, it doesn't feel good. And that's just what happens when things are out of the ordinary, which we're in an out of the ordinary market. But 600 people.
Can you imagine?
I'm an introvert. I need four people tops.
Oh, yeah. I needed a shower after. I mean, I lost my voice practically because I was hosting from the porch. I could not go in the house except to clean up afterward and maybe just run through to make sure people were moving through so I could get more people in. I've never seen that many people. I've seen a lot of people at open houses. I loved before the pandemic, I would do these big open houses with food and, you know, stuff for the kids to do in the backyard to entertain them while the family was looking at the home and whatever it would take to get people to stick around and give me their 2 cents about the house.
We just needed an inventory crisis to get them to stick around. No big deal.
I know. But doing an open house from the porch isn't my favorite way to do it, but I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I got claustrophobic just setting up the open house. And I thought, no, I don't want to be stuck in this galley kitchen and there's no way out, you know? And it was also right before my grandchild was born. So I felt
you did not want to get sick.
Yeah.
Ram's got to go see a baby here.
I'm going to stay outside, you know. So anyway, that's probably the craziest thing I've had encounter. So if there's new agents out there, I'm just telling you, be ready for everything.
And markets are changing now and the markets are starting to shift a little bit, but that's the nature of real estate. The market comes and market goes. It's a living beast. So I got to hear about this book. So now we've got a little bit of insights into the 5-year realtor with a huge background. So tell us about the book, why you wrote it. Pick it up and show it to us.
Yeah. Here's the book. It's called Welcome Home. I'll send you a copy. You just need to send me your address. But at closing day, I love to give gifts. I'm that agent that likes to, you know, do the right thing and tell them thank you. And I've had a lot of first-time homebuyers with children, and I would always run around and just buy random gifts for them. And so the children that I've helped get into homes with their families are kind of the ones that inspired the book, because the thing I was looking for wasn't available. I couldn't find it. So I said, I think I need to write it. So I literally wrote it in practically one sitting while sitting on my couch. And I'll be very honest with you, Lee. after I wrote it, it's kind of like a Dr. Seuss poem style book. There's not, you know, there's not a lot of words, just a cute style book. I just started kind of tearing up like, this is it. I need to share this with real estate agents. This should be what they do on closing day to show the family they truly care about them and let them know that they're more important than making this move, because we don't know what they're thinking. Even if the house is bigger and greater and exciting, they might be moving across town, across country, but they might be scared and nervous. I've watched children like holding on to their mom's hand, a little nervous, scared. The house is empty, so it doesn't feel like home yet. So I'm hoping that I can help other agents see that by giving something to the child, you're also letting the parents know you really care about their entire family. And on the last page, there's a place for the agent to send a picture of closing day of the family to make it a very special keepsake for the family. Yeah. And then the agent, they can also, for referral and repeat business, they can stick their business card in the dust cover flap so that later when they're cleaning the kids' room or thinking about moving, or, oh, what's that phone number again for, you know, that agent, they can maybe build a lifetime client. I think that's the other weird thing about our industry is sometimes agents, we have so many options to do things to build business, and we get sidetracked with too many ideas. And I'm guilty for it, honestly. Yeah. I'm going to farm. I'm going to send out postcards. I'm going to do all the things. Do the things that you're good at. I like to tell people, stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and try to just do you. Something. And for me, doing something like a client retention item like this, it feels right to show that you care and that you're going to nurture the relationship on the day that a lot of agents say, bye, thanks, I got my check. And maybe they're not going to nurture the client anymore. And then they get forgotten and another agent's going to help them down the road. So
awesome.
This could help them.
I love it. It's a fantastic product. And guys, you have all the links are in the show notes to this episode. So y'all can go check it out and see if it's something that you would like to add to your arsenal of wonderful gifts to give back. Somebody's looking to get in touch with you as their realtor of choice. How can they find you?
Oh, they can find me on Instagram at Monica Strand. And I'm sure you'll put that in the liner notes. And if your folks want to buy a book, I can maybe set up a discount link with the name of your show. You would probably want it to be CSIRE, like 20% off or something like that. I can connect with you after. And if you want to put it in the liner notes, that would be great too.
Awesome. Well, that is much appreciated. And thank you for coming on the show and giving us like a lot of different angles to think about. And I gave you a book to read and you're giving us a wholesome book to give out. So it's kind of a balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Monica, thank you for coming on the show. It's so nice to have you here. And I know that everybody's enjoyed the conversation and we'll see you around.
All righty. Bye-bye.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out, I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.